Rural Focus.
Let's find out and see what's in the Farm Weekly tomorrow, the Anzac Day edition, lest we forget the editor, Darren O'Day. Good morning, mate.
Good morning, Troy. Good to chat with you once again.
Are you off to any Dawn services tomorrow, mate?
Yes, I am, mate. Okay. I will be heading to the Dawesville Dawn service tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Go along to that, and I think we may even head along to a gunfire breakfast after that.
Lovely.
And then having a day off tomorrow after that, I might actually go back to bed.
So. Your day's sorted, mate. There you go.
It is sorted. But definitely heading on to the Dawn service tomorrow. I love them.
Yeah, no, good luck to everybody who's heading to Dawn services or normal services around regional WA tomorrow. In the paper, mate, tomorrow, that crisis meeting at Yawnup last week regarding the dry conditions and what can be done going forward.
Yeah, 100%, Troy. We've got quite a big coverage on that this week, and obviously a lot of people know about that meeting already. And it's about 300 people went along to that meeting at Yawnup. A lot of people are going, where the heck is Yawnup? For those playing at home, it's between Bridgetown and Manjibup.
Yeah.
And it was called by a couple of people, producers down there. They're really concerned about the dry conditions down there at the moment, and particularly in that southwest region, Troy, where it is classed as a high rainfall area, but in that past 6 months, they've had very little, if any, rain at all. One of the things that come out of it, it's not just the conditions that the livestock producers are concerned about now. You know, what could happen when it doesn't rain in the next 6 months, when it's supposed to be cooler and wetter?
Yeah,
you know, and they really just want to gather a lot of information about, you know, what's happening, where can we go next? And also message to other farmers in that same situation that they're not alone, that, you know, there's others in that same area. But, you know, as has been documented quite a lot of areas of concern, you know, the short supply and the soaring costs of livestock feed. Low returns, the lack of confidence in the ag sector at the moment, and obviously the live export ban and turning off sheep, and with limited access to markets were some of the main areas. And I guess, you know, the state government did come out last week and talked about the dry season task force. But the consensus from people that we've spoken to at that meeting and at other meetings, in fact, is that, okay, that's cool, but we need to act quickly because, you know, if you don't act quickly, then it's just too late. You know, and they also wanted the federal government to sort of step up a little bit and really put some pressure on to get some extra flights, you know, for chilled meat exports, like Qatar Airways. As we know, the government's blocked all that before. You know, freight subsidies, getting some freight subsidies and for that. Maybe looking at moratoriums on hay out of WA, rural water grants, things like that. You know, they're some of the things that they wanted to sort of have people to have a look at all levels of government. But interesting thing is, one farmer said, you know, look, we're not idiots. You know, we're well aware of how to drought proof our businesses, you know, and they're exposed to it all day, every day. And, you know, and they've acknowledged, you know, there's a decline in rainfall over the recent years, and there's probably going to be more of that in the future. But what they were saying was, give us something that we can do to help us. You know, they're saying, like, the task force is going to provide them information on how to drought-proof their farms. They said they already know how to do that in the main, and they believe that was a waste of money, and they should really instead be looking at shoring up, you know, the future of commodities and things like that. You know, and one farmer, he gave some figures. He said he was receiving $1.50 a kilo for live weight for his heifers and $3 a kilo live weight for his steers, and he said that's barely covering his costs. You know, that's just some of the takeaways from that meeting that we held in Yawnup last week, and Brooks Littlewood goes into quite a fair bit of depth about, you know, all the different concerns and what we should be doing going forward.
A lot of sheep and cattle both heading east, mate?
A lot of sheep and a lot of cattle heading east, Troy.
Yes.
You know, when we have a look at the cattle flows to the eastern states, they've more than doubled their levels for the first 3 months of this year. We've got some figures from Deep Herd. So from January to March this year, 24,600 head being trucked across the Nullarbor Plain. Now that compares with just 2,600 head in the same time last year. We sort of peaked in February this year at about 13,500 head, which is about a 15-fold increase on year-ago levels. You know, the numbers are the highest we've seen in quite a long time. And, you know, they're driven by the factors, you know, which include pricing, feed and freight. You know, the people in the east, if they want to actually bring those cattle from WA across, they actually have to pay a premium for them, and it's still worthwhile them doing it at the moment because the markets are favourable over there to do that. So that's on the cattle side of things. And then on the sheep side of things, there's been over 300,000 sheep that have been trucked across in the first 3 months of this year as well, and that's one of the highest we've ever had. You know, and that volume is just really, it doesn't seem any time soon to be slowing down. And, you know, once again, they're sort of saying, you know, those big volumes are really highlighting the strain facing WA sheep producers at the moment. We've got a fair bit of analysis there. And they're sort of worried about, while they're going east and that's providing a relief valve, also a relief valving is, you know, the live export side of things, but they're worried about what will happen when that's that switch is turned off soon. And obviously this, the last couple of days, you know, our Ag and Food Minister, Jackie Jarvis, she's written to Murray Watt, the Federal Minister of Agriculture, seeking an extension of 10 days for that to delay the Northern Hemisphere moratorium on those live sheep exports. And that'll go from, if that's approved, from June 14 to June 24. And that obviously that's going to be subject to a lot of things, you know, favourable weather conditions and the usual welfare side of things, Troy. But what some people are saying is that won't make a lot of difference. But then other people have said to us, well, if you're that farmer that gets those sheep on that boat, that will make a difference. But also they're worried that, okay, so the minister's written to the federal minister asking for that approval, but that needs to happen sooner than later. Don't mess around with it, because we've still got to get these boats sorted. You know, you can't just dial up a live export ship to come to Perth.
We're ready.
I'm here tomorrow. It's like, you know, there's a lot of logistics. So, you know, they're really saying, once again, you know, let's just eliminate some of this red tape so we can get that happening. You know, obviously the 3-month moratorium, that's been in place since 2019, and that stops the, you know, the trade of sheep from Australia to the Middle East in that June to September period when that Northern Hemisphere summer, so it's a bit cooler for the sheep when they're heading over there. So fingers crossed that, you know, the federal government will come to the party on that, approve that, and we can get some boats organised to get some more sheep off to sort of provide another relief valve for WA producers.
And also in the paper tomorrow, mate, what will the federal government's biosecurity protection levy, what will it cost the different ag sectors here?
The short answer is lots, Troy. look, the annual, I think the government budgeting for about $51.8 million per year to be collected from farmers. And that's based on, you know, lots of calculations that they run. So, you know, there's some sectors of the ag world that are going to pay a lot more than others. You know, grain sector alone, they're going to be asked, from what we can understand, to pay about $12.2 million or about 23% of that annual collection. And that's based on the average gross production for 2019 to 2020 and up until 2021-22. So obviously that's based on when we had some big crops this year. Not really sure what those crops are going to be doing. You know, and Grain Producers Australia, they're sort of saying the amount that the grains industry is going to be charged is about 10 times more than what they currently contribute to a voluntary levy to Plant Health Australia, which is used for emergency responses to things like the varroa mite outbreak. So obviously the grain sector there is quite concerned. But then we have a look at some of the other breakdowns. The livestock sector, they're probably going to pay about 30% of the levy, and I think that's about $9.3 million. Dairy farmers going to probably have to prop up about $3 million. Sheep and lamb producers, about $3 million. Meat chicken farmers, and obviously they're facing a phase out of cage 10 production, about $1.8 million annually. Pig farmers, about $1 million. You know, and we've got a list, and it just goes on and on and on. But the thing is there, Troy, is some of these groups that have to pay this biosecurity protection levy have never actually had to pay a levy before. So that's obviously going to be a new cost for them as well. You know, and there's other people that are saying, well, this is obviously the whole thing is to produce, you know, a better defence for Australia's biosecurity. But there's concerns there that is all this money being collected actually going to bolster our biosecurity, or is it going to be used for some of that and then other into general, you know, consolidated revenue or some other dark hole of government funding? We're not really sure. So there's a lot of concern and obviously, you know, a lot of costs that phase farmers are facing. And we basically drilled down the individual numbers for all the different groups on that one.
So you can read those stories and more. The Farm Weekly, it is out tomorrow. Daz, as always, nice to chat. We'll do it again next week.
Hopefully we'll have some rain in the next couple of weeks, Troy, but fingers crossed.